This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sarah and Vinny on Alice at 97.3.
Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Let's see if I have a sponsor here. I do not. Okay, we're going to hop right in. This terrible news. I am so sorry if we're the ones telling you this as you wake up this morning. Anthony Bourdain is dead. He looks like he committed suicide. Doesn't just look like it. I mean, they're calling it an apparent suicide, but he hung himself in France. He was discovered by a good friend of his, a fellow chef. He was there on location. He had a whole crew with him as they're, you know, shooting the CNN show that he does.
I wouldn't have guessed that this would affect you so.
You know, I wouldn't have either. I heard it on my way in this morning. They sort of announced it on CBS, and I screamed in my car, "Oh my God!" And then couldn't wait to hear more news. Like, I'm freaking out. And, you know, one of the big things for me is that my kid is a huge Anthony Bourdain. Like, we watch his show pretty much every day. Mm. He comes in, puts it on, or it comes on because we have CNN on. Anthony Bourdain is, if you read and you like to read, even if you don't, whatever, maybe this is what changes things. Kitchen Confidential is a great story about him growing up and his adventures in the underbelly of the New York restaurant scene. He's a very interesting person. I love everything. He's parts unknown, but he had a show before that. I'm sure it'll come up somewhere in all these billion stories here. But he's done, I think, I want to say like 11 seasons of Parts Unknown, or they just started the 11th season on CNN. And he had a show before that on the Travel Network. And then he's just a celebrity chef as well. He's just amazing. And one of the crazy things that just came across my desk is...
So we're starting to get some facts now.
Well, I don't know if this... Who knows? Maybe this is a contributing factor to his death. I'm not sure. His girlfriend is Asia Argento.
She's from Rome, I believe. She's an actress, model.
But she's one of the big outspoken people about Harvey Weinstein. Mm-hmm. She says Harvey Weinstein, she's the one. In fact, isn't she part of the current case?
I believe so.
She's the one who, she says, Harvey Weinstein made her get on her knees and service mm-hmm. him. They're saying that he was tormented by the sexual harassment claims in Hollywood. His girlfriend came forward as one of the first accusing Harvey Weinstein of rape. He more recently denounced New York restaurant owner Ken Friedman and celebrity chef Mario Batali after claims of inappropriate conduct were made against them, and said that he feared that his behind-the-scenes industry book, Kitchen Confidential, had enabled the culture of abuse to continue. Maybe he feels that he romanticized it in some way. Hmm. He says, "We're clearly at a long overdue moment in history where everyone, good-hearted or not, will have to look at themselves. They play the part they played in the past, the things they've seen, ignored, accepted as normal, or simply missed, and consider what side of history they want to be on in the future." This was part of an essay he wrote for a magazine, I guess, called Medium. "To the extent which my work in Kitchen Confidential celebrated or prolonged a culture that allowed the kind of grotesque behaviors we're hearing about all too frequently is something I think about daily with real remorse." She's Italian-born, it says here, Asia Argento.
So what has she been in that anyone would recognize her from? I'm looking at her now, and yeah. She's got a spectacular tattoo.
She does.
A decorative tattoo along her neckline, which I guess it looks like a chandelier. I don't know what you'd call that.
So she was in XXX, but you guys have to like Vin Diesel to know her from that.
Is she like more of an international
actress? Oh, you want to see her?
In the first XXX movie, she is the female lead alongside him. So that, in my opinion, was her big breakout role, but that was in 2002.
So she was one of the first to levy allegations against Weinstein, accusing him of what we just talked about a minute ago. And months before his suicide this morning, he wrote this emotional article in which he explained he could stay silent no more after meeting one extraordinary woman with a particularly awful story to tell. In these current circumstances, one must pick a side. I stand unhesitatingly and unwaveringly with the women. Not out of virtue or integrity or high moral outrage, as much as I like to say so, but because late in life I met one extraordinary woman with a particularly awful story to tell who introduced me to other extraordinary women with equally awful stories. I'm grateful to them for their courage and inspired by them. That doesn't make me any more enlightened than any other man who's begun listening and paying attention. It does make me, I hope, slightly less stupid. They met... she was on the Rome episode of his travel show, Parts Unknown, in early 2017. This is apparently right after he split up with his wife. And I guess that they've been seeing each other since then. She was 21 when she alleges that Weinstein...
Well, what's interesting, or whatever. So 2017, she alleged in a New Yorker article by Ronan Farrow that she was sexually assaulted by Weinstein in the 90s. In that article, she also said that she had consensual sexual relations with him multiple times over the course of the next 5 years. She confirmed that a scene in Scarlet Diva, where her character is accosted by a movie executive, was indeed a reference to Weinstein.
Oh, wow. He raped her and then she continued to see him?
The same thing happened with Paz de la Huerga, right, where she was attacked by him and she continued to hang out with him.
Just speaks to the power that these people have over others. Anyway, that's his relationship with Asia Argento. I have no idea. I don't know really much about his personal life at all. CNN tweeted, "It is with extraordinary sadness that we can confirm the death of our friend and colleague, Anthony Bourdain. His love of great adventure, new friends, fine food and drink, and the remarkable stories of the world made him a unique storyteller. His talents never cease to amaze us. We will miss him very much. Our thoughts and prayers are with his daughter and family at this incredibly difficult time." So... he was found this morning by his friend Eric Repair. He is a French chef, I believe. They were in France. They were in location shooting an episode of his show. And there really aren't a whole lot more details. He hanged himself, apparently. But just super shocking news this morning. And so there's... basically everything we have to this point. And okay, if we get more, Vinny will tell you, or I'll tell you in an hour. Robin Williams, Come Inside My Mind, premieres on HBO next month.
Great. Yeah, HBO paid for that whole thing.
Tragic loss for the world. Today, HBO released the first trailer for this brand new documentary about Robin Williams. It'll be available next month. Directed by Marina Zenovic.
Yeah. She's done a few big documentaries like this.
So Hooman talked extensively about this. You saw it at a film festival.
Yeah, I saw it at the San Francisco Film Festival at the Castro Theater.
You were flipping out over it.
Well, look, I see a lot of films, and I've seen quite a few documentaries. But when it's somebody that you've met and talked to and admired, it matters so much more. Also, he's from San Francisco, seeing the historic Castro Theater, his first wife there, everyone who knew him, loved him, and then all of these things coming out about him that you just don't realize how he became who he was and what was his inspiration. I mean, the fact that he was raised by an absentee father and just wanted that father's attention and saw that the father would only give attention if somebody could make him laugh. Like, there
that
it is.
So sad.
There's that moment right there. You're like, oh my God. This guy just wanted his dad to pay attention to him. And so the dad would, like I've said this
we
before.
We really are crippled sometimes by what happens to us in our childhood. Mm-hmm. Although it turned out to be less crippling and more of what his life became. But, I mean, we really are just so malleable in those early years.
My logical sense says, get over it. Stuff that happens. But then I look at my behavior sometimes. I go, well, that's because I haven't.
Right.
So weird.
When yeah, and children, so, you know, things that's yeah, profound.
The dad's flipping the channels one night and lands on Jonathan Winters and is so engaged. And there's 7-year-old Robin Williams looking at his dad watching Jonathan Winters going, that's how I can get my dad to love me.
Oh,
I have to make him laugh.
Because Mork and Mindy,
that's
when
right,
Jonathan...
That's why Jonathan Winters was in Mork and Mindy,
yeah,
because of his
dad.
Dad.
He was the baby.
Well, he just... From heaven.
Oh, oh, how old was he when his dad died?
Oh.
Oh, God, even more tragedy.
Yeah. But the, listen, the documentary is just great. I highly recommend it. I'm so glad HBO's...
What's it called again?
Come Inside. Is it My
come
Head in, or...
Come Inside My Mind.
My Mind.
And that it's, as Hooman had described it earlier, it's a lot of... There's a lot of Robin footage, obviously, but there are tons of interviews with many people that you know and that, you know, people from his family and from his
Well, Billy
Crystal's
got to be in there, right?
Billy Crystal's huge in it. Whoopi Goldberg, Eric Idle, Steve Martin, Dave Letterman, and many more. What does the trailer look like? Was it... Oh, okay. So now they're showing some sort of personal photos from his... We can't listen to this whole trailer, but would you mind posting that in the Sarah and Vinny
sure,
Facebook page? So you can easily find it there. This looks like July 16th. That'll be up on HBO. So Robin Williams, Come Inside My Mind. Kanye West is supposed to have a record out today.
I'll look again.
Yeah, this is much like last week when we couldn't find Ye until like minutes before the new music segment. So today it's a record with Kid Cudi, and this is the third of the five that we're supposed to get from his big Wyoming
trip. And these
trip,
two guys had beef for a minute there.
I don't know what their deal was.
Kid Cudi had said some stuff about him.
Yeah, I can't. I can't keep the
all right,
the rap battles straight. So you know, maybe. That's, I mean, I'm sure that's possible.
Okay.
Yesterday, though, I guess he changed some of the lyrics to the record that he put out last week. So if you download it now, it has different stuff on it. Last month, he said that slavery, he believed that slavery was a choice. I'm pretty sure everyone's aware of that at this point. And just as it seems to be dying down, the controversy, I mean, he's bringing it back to life. He has tweaked a track called I Thought About Killing You. This is from the new album that just came out last week. He changed the last verse to include this. If I wasn't shining so hard, wouldn't be no shade, but buckwheat, it's going to be okay. Sorry, but I chose not to be no slave. The line didn't replace anything. It was added on. So at the moment, though, it's only been added to the clean version. So if you've downloaded the explicit version, you're still not hearing it. I don't know if he's planning to add that to the uncensored version. But I just think it's so strange how now, because no one buys a physical album. I mean, I assume he sold very few copies of actual CDs. I don't even know if he printed any. You can just go back and change whatever you want. Because if people are, because they count the streams as album sales. So I guess if you've only heard it on streaming, you're about to hear it slightly differently. And if you're only listening to clean streaming, clearly you're
It's so
underage.
Weird that the processing can be done that quickly on a song. Like you hear it takes months to a year to make an album.
Right.
Not just writing and learning the songs and performing. Then they have to mix it.
Master it.
Right. All that
all
process.
The artwork, et cetera.
And he's fixing it in
real the last
time.
Week.
Yeah.
Right. Because 1 week ago that came out. And since then, he's clearly had time to go back into that track program, you know, that clip on his computer, change it and re-upload it. Yeah. Kanye is 41 years old today.
Just a baby.
He is just a baby. Yep. God, I'd kill to be 41 again. Ooh. We'll have to kill. We'll have to kill for that. Kim, his wife, the other half of the most annoying couple of all time.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, my God. That is so true.
She is talking about her meeting with President Trump, who later commuted the life sentence for that first-time nonviolent drug offender, Alice Marie Johnson, who was serving life in prison. She became passionate about Alice getting released from jail after seeing her story on Twitter about 7 months ago.
On Twitter?
Yeah. It's where she saw it. She started to care deeply. Since then, she's been working, they say, to make a change in her life after she spent almost 22 years in prison. She said of the meeting with the president, "I've met him before he was the president, a few times. So it was a hug, and I sat down. He was like, 'Okay, so what's going on? Why are we here?' We started the meeting. I did take a second to say, like, 'Wait a minute, we're in the Oval Office. I need to embrace it. It's amazing.'" I guess when she entered the room, she opened with a joke. He said, "Why are you here?" And I said, "Really, I'm here because I want to know why you kicked Chloe off The Apprentice." It was a laugh, and it was funny, and then we got into business. She got a call from Trump earlier this week saying, "I reviewed the case. I've decided to commute Alice's sentence." He felt it. He was compassionate. He was sympathetic to her. He said, "This is a really long time that she's been in there. This just isn't fair." He knew this was the right thing to do, and he said that from the start. He knew it was the right thing to do, and he said that, and he was really honest with it, and he wanted to make it happen.
Yeah, thank you.
Sunday, moving on.
Right,
we don't have to. It's Friday. Let's like totally have a great day. It's good a day as we can possibly have.
You don't want
to
give the president any props for releasing
that
woman.
It's great that he released her.
I'm Kim for
super great.
Nothing. Okay.
No, yeah. It's great that she did it.
I just do this.
Yeah. Let's golf clap them. Great. It is actually good.
Yeah.
It's just on top of all the other stuff. It's like
I'm just like, okay. That girl must really be feeling herself. Like, I got the president to do something.
I'm feeling myself. I'm feeling myself. Oh. I'm feeling myself. I'm the president's heir. I'm feeling myself. Who else's sentence do I want to get commuted?
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling myself. Stupid hoe. You a stupid hoe. Sunday at 8 o'clock on CBS, the Tony Awards.
Oh.
Sarah Bareilles, Vinny's ex-girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
You know, and, I was this close.
You should have stayed with her.
I was this close, and you were right there, and you know it.
I was right there just watching that show happen. and Josh Groban, they are the co-hosts.
In your mind, how close do you think I got?
How wide is the Grand Canyon?
Oh my
like
God!
Like its widest point.
You really so like think about a I mile? Was that far from making something happen with her?
Yeah, she and I made meaningful contact, eye contact, like three times during your little attempt.
Oh, really?
It was good. It was fun. Anyway, those two are hosting the 72nd Tony Awards.
Oh wow!
On
Long
Sunday.
Time.
Yes. Stage and screen.
What? Just like the time with Colby, was it Colby Calais,
yes.
Manager?
Yes.
You undermined my opportunity by making weird googly eyes behind my back with Sarah, is what you're saying to me right now.
I didn't undermine it. I was just sitting there watching. She kept looking at me like, help me.
Oh, get out of here, you liar.
I was like, there's nothing I can do. You'll be fine. Don't worry, Sarah. Barry Ellis. I think he even called her Sarah Bareilles.
God.
You're so wrong about that.
Uh-huh.
I'm the only one that has your back. And here's another TV reminder. The Warriors are on tonight.
Yeah.
That's where we'll all be, right?
I don't know. You're going to be in that HOA meeting.
No, I'm... They're going to know in advance.
Someone said you should move. Who schedules an HOA meeting on a Friday?
Yeah, you know what,
someone
though?
Very inconsiderate.
This is the weirdest part of that is I actually can't do it on a Thursday or a Wednesday. So, frankly, even though it screws up my Friday, it's really the best time for me to do it.
Maybe that's why they do it, then.
No, I don't think so. I think it probably works schedule. For them, too.
Tomorrow is the 25th anniversary of the arrest of Heidi Fleiss, the Hollywood madam.
Oh.
I just wanted to quickly tell you the story because there's some funny crap in here. So the Hollywood Reporter reached out to her and said, "Hey, it's the 25th anniversary. Anything you want to spill?"
Oh, wait, let me get this bird crap off of me from all my 30 parrots that live in my house.
Up with that? It sounds so loud. And
that's no way to
live. It sounds like pneumonia, like disgusting. You should die from all that scent.
Yeah. Is there enough
sounds
oxygen
like pneumonia.
In there?
You know
that ammonia. Yeah.
You know
that ammonia smell
from
of pee.
Yeah.
Like rotting pee.
Yeah.
The big name that was dropped during this whole thing was that Charlie Sheen had.
I said pneumonia. I think I mean ammonia.
Yeah, ammonia.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry.
That's fine. I knew what you're talking about. Charlie Sheen even testified at her trial. But Heidi said he's lying about how much he spent on hookers. Because he had said, I don't know, something like $60,000. She said it was more like $400,000.
Oh, I thought.
I guess now she's outing him.
I thought she was going to say it's the other way. He less. Didn't really do that much or something.
Oh, no.
No, we expect it to be an ugly number.
Years after her arrest, she dated Tom Sizemore, which was a bad idea. He was convicted of abusing her in 2003. And she's got some interesting things to say about him as well.
I bet.
He's into horse porn. And he was a
drug. What does that mean?
Horses and people. He's into horse porn. Also, she claims the reason he's a drug addict is because he's afraid of getting fat. So she's saying he would take drugs so he wouldn't eat. Yeah. As far as the horse porn goes, he says this one woman who is known for horse porn, he told me that's his favorite actress, better than Meryl Streep.
That's so gross.
I've seen horse porn before.
You have?
Yeah. I walked when in that one on dude... a coworker.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Where? In Visalia?
In Visalia.
Get out of here.
Yeah. And I was all, what? Because, like, we had one computer.
Was the person.
God.
I don't.
No, he wasn't doing anything. He was just watching it.
Was it when that dude got killed by that horse? Was he just
No, it was a woman.
Oh, God.
Doing stuff to a horse.
Happy Friday, everybody. We're going to break on that note. What's coming up in the news?
I have no idea.
All right. Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Happy Friday.
The Radio Alice Report.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by Visit Oakland. Summer's near, and that means Oakland Ale and Wine Trails are the place to be. Celebrate local beer and wine and taste all the town has to offer. Check out visitoakland.com for more details.
I do need to sell some stuff.
And I do need to not throw that across the room. I almost did that.
Yes, don't do it. Hang on to stuff, Vinny. You never know.
We'll begin with just a repeat of a story we've been talking about most of the morning. But if you're just joining us, American celebrity chef Anthony Bourdain was found dead at the age of 61 in his hotel room in France while working on his CNN series on culinary traditions around the world. CNN has confirmed the death, saying in a statement he was found unresponsive Friday morning by a friend and chef Eric Ripert.
Repair. He's like a French dude.
I don't know. I do know Anthony Bourdain from his celebrity, but I've never watched his show. But they are calling his death a suicide. So I wouldn't have known Repair.
Well, I heard Liam Makelam say it this morning. So I'm going to go with his pronunciation. He seems very worldly. It's actually amazing all the corners that are represented in the Anthony Bourdain thing. Like, as I'm looking at Instagram, I'm seeing everyone from, like, my little, you know, 22-year-old niece flipping out to Michael Franti.
Mm-hmm. And what did Michael
posted.
Say?
He actually wrote a long post about it. And a lot of it was about just suicide in general. 800-273-TALK. Please call the National Suicide Prevention Hotline if you're having thoughts of suicide. There is someone out there to talk to.
Someone just texted in right now that it is suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
On to news from here in San Francisco, former state's, let's see here. It's Mark Leno, who still leads the San Francisco supervisor London Breed in the mayoral race that remains too close to call. We go now live to City Hall. Hooman reports.
Oh, he's getting a winner right now.
Oh, Hooman, we're calling into the City Hall Bureau.
Okay, so as we all know, San Francisco is still trying to figure out who the next mayor is. As of yesterday, London Breed and Mark Leno were separated by 250 votes or something like that.
They say the lead has shrank to 255 votes from the previous day's 1,121 votes.
And they are still going to count votes that come in today's mail, right?
So they have 84,000 votes left to count.
Oh, boy.
And every day at 4 o'clock, they give an update.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm assuming, I went to go talk to our sister station, KCBS.
Oh, you're amazing.
And I think it's going to be at least another week or so before they they know.
That long?
Well, 84,000 votes is a lot,
yeah,
wouldn't you say?
Get on it, guys. Come on.
I feel like you could get that done in a day.
I feel like that way. I feel like the five of us could get that done.
Could we?
We'll split them up and we'll start.
So,
well, then again, we have no idea we're idiots.
Our
so.
Friend Tara Moriarty is like the campaign manager.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tara, text me.
Yeah, Tara.
We often talk about real estate.
We do.
Things.
Yeah.
Nationwide and also here at home. The cities where homes were on the market for the least amount of days were nationally are Seattle, San Francisco, and San Jose. Coming in at number four on the list, Oakland.
Mm.
Then Denver.
Things are just getting snapped up.
So if you do live here in the Bay Area and you are feeling frustrated, there's a good reason why. It's the hottest market in the nation by far. In the top five are three cities from here in the Bay Area.
Mm.
So it's unfortunate. I know the feeling. I feel for you. As that's sort of the market cools off in the winter, and right now is when people are sort of putting their stuff up.
Right.
And so there's probably just like we're getting tons of texts from people who are saying, my kid is graduating. There's weddings that happen in the spring. Homes go on sale in the spring. And right here at the end of spring into summer, we've got graduations. Going crazy.
It's that time of year. The rebirth time. New starts.
I like that trying to recapture that feeling through the kids that are getting out now of just that you're just on fire to get out of school and you know it's
summer.
Gonna be the best summer ahead. You cannot wait.
Oh,
and you're gonna throw this backpack right away. Throwing it in the trash.
Well, you should. I mean, that thing has seen better days.
I don't even want to see this thing ever again.
Clean it out. We'll get you a new one in August when we do your back-to-school shopping. Those sales are about to start.
This story, I don't know if it'll surprise you or not.
Okay.
One-third of people say their financial plan for the future, one-third, is inheriting money from their parents.
Really?
That's their financial plan.
That does surprise me.
A full one-third of people are saying.
Do they know for a fact they're going to get some money?
I don't.
Like, that's a weird thing to count on.
Yeah, it's super
weird. Your parents
weird.
Could easily eat that up with their late life health care, retirement, home care needs. That's not guaranteed money.
Right.
I mean, I guess, unless you're, you know, well, Bill Gates' kid. I would
problem.
Be counting on that.
So let's just talk in the most plain English, flat-out way possible. You wouldn't even want to talk about your parents this way, but let's say, okay, you're counting on this inheritance from your parents. So what are you going to start hoping they pass soon?
I know. I hope to be well into my retirement when my parents die. I hope they live to be 110.
Like, that's one of those things where you go, so you need them to go at 60 so there's enough money left for you to have a future?
Right. That doesn't seem like a good plan.
That's an ugly plan, man.
Super morbid.
I don't like it.
When are you guys going to die?
Well, I think it's well thought through because I do think you consider old to be this thing.
Yep.
But old can be from 60 to 90. That's a big window, man.
Plenty
and
of people living longer than that.
And if they live to the 90... there's not going to be quite the same amount of money waiting for you at the end of that of their run.
I'll sell their house. And I'll split it with my four siblings. I mean, don't.
And fight over it.
Right.
Along the way.
And it'll totally destroy the family. It's going to be great.
Here's that headline again. One out of three people say their main financial plan is inheriting money from their parents after they die. 36% of people in Gen X, 32% of millennials, and even 20% of baby boomers.
Wow.
Whose parents are obviously
super
into
old.
Their 80s.
Right.
Say they're banking on mom and dad leaving them a nice pile of cash.
Well, good luck with that.
On top of that list, though, is Generation Z. People who are under 22, a full 63% of Generation Z say My parents are going to be my best financial option.
Oh, wow. Mm. That's not true.
That is delusional.
That is delusional.
You have no idea.
Yeah. Because they have your college. They paid for your college. Or Z, the ones we were about to pay for their college. That's my
kids.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... don't count on that, kids.
A full one-third of Americans are living like that.
If you really want to help your kids out, get them set up with an IRA early in life. Get them, let them get bit by the savings bug.
And have a 529 and tell them that's their college fund.
Yeah. And have all the grandparents contribute to that instead of birthday presents and Christmas presents.
I heard this story about someone we know who they have a kid, college age, and the difference between... So they've saved some money.
Yeah.
They have some money put away for this kid's college, and they're like, this is what we got. And the kid's all, well, I might want to go to this school. Which 1 year at the one school this kid has mentioned destroys the whole fund completely in 1 year.
Mm-hmm. You can't believe how much college is.
Well, just the difference between one school they could pay for the whole 4 years and this other school... It decimates the 529 or whatever they've got put away in 1 year.
Yeah.
And I feel like I would have to say to my kid, you are going to that school at your own risk. There's not any more money in your budget than what's here.
Those are going to be student loans that you're going to pay off for the rest of your life.
It's so, I want to say clueless of kids who think that possibility. Well, aren't you going to find a way?
You're going to find a way.
You're not going to mortgage the house?
No. I've got my retirement to think about. And they actually say a lot of parents do that. They mortgage their house. They find a way to pay for these kids' college. And then just as their kid is now struggling to make it in the world and going out and getting a job, you can't turn to that kid for help. And you've destroyed your retirement by paying for the kids. Don't do it. It's not selfish to worry about what you're going to do for money when you're an old person. It's not selfish. What's selfish is the kid who's like, yeah, mortgage your house. Of course you will. You need to explain to that child that that's not how it works.
It's trippy because it's not abnormal for a kid to be that way.
No.
But it is, as I heard it, it sounds so...
Depressing?
Well, ugly. It just sounds a little ugly. Like looking
entitled?
At the picture, like, whoa. So you think that somehow they'll figure out...
Well, you had me.
Owe
me.
Well, my answer to my young person will be, you have this to budget. There's your budget. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yes, I did have you. Here's what I've saved for you.
Right.
Beyond that, it's on you.
The majority of people now use their phone on the toilet.
Well, yeah. I mean, all the fun stuff's on there.
Oh, 70% of people say they check their phone when they're on the toilet. The end.
How long are you spending there?
I don't understand.
I don't
know why
you're
so anti being on the toilet.
You're there to do something,
yeah,
and then
you
leave.
It's going to take a while. What, I got to rush through?
Why does it take a while?
I mean, just because it's, things to do.
Here are a couple sort of related to the
toilet.
Phone addiction as you bring your phone into the toilet with you. Here's a couple ways you can pull off the phone.
All right.
Turn off your notifications.
No.
Then you won't feel the need constantly to be...
Now I got to open the phone. I can't just touch the front and see what's going on.
I always felt like the little red blinky light on my BlackBerry actually helped me not look at my phone more often.
Because you could tell there was nothing.
The phone could be 5 feet away and I could see, okay, it's not blinking. Then I don't need to pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
But once I got the iPhone, I'm always wondering, well, did something come through while I wasn't looking?
How come they haven't put that on?
I don't know why they won't put the little blinky light on. And people will write in and say, oh, you could turn your camera. No, that doesn't keep notifying. It just goes off one time. Your little flash.
The little blinky light just goes off, until you've satisfied the...
Right. But that's one. Anyway. Yeah. Don't get sucked in by using apps for everything, they say.
Well,
less apps on your phone will help you pull off that thing.
It's so easy.
Here's one that I tripped out on. You can make your screen black and white. Most phones give you a grayscale option.
Oh, that
and
makes
studies
it uglier.
Have shown that all these bright colors are a big part of the reason why we're so addicted.
Yeah, they're beautiful. Ah. That's interesting. Huh. When it's more boring to look at, it's try that. Doubt it, but maybe.
How about a fast fact?
I love fast facts. Okay. You know that.
Freddie Mercury always refused to answer when interviews asked him to name his favorite Queen song because it was Somebody to Love. Which he wrote, and he didn't want to sound vain.
Oh.
Somebody to Love is for sure.
I love that. So, this is, it's so great.
What's coming up
Rest
in the trash,
in peace,
Sarah?
Freddie. Oh, man. Have you seen the trailers for the, is it Rami Malek? Rami?
Yeah.
He's playing Freddie Mercury in the Queen like
looks good.
Biopic. It looks excellent. They showed a preview of it before we saw Solo. And my kids are like, oh my God, is this? I'm like, yeah, we're going. Don't worry. We'll talk about Anthony Bourdain. It's just everywhere. So we'll talk a little bit about that in case you haven't heard. But we also have new music.
Yeah.
Including a single from the new Prince album that's going to come out. So we'll hear that and more after these.
Sarah and Vinny on Alice at 97.3.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.